I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark 14. Kids are going off to children's church. In the Synoptic Gospels, we have the account of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper. I'd like us to think for a few moments together about what is taught in Mark's Gospel, beginning at chapter 14, verse 17. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened. And one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." At the Lord's Supper, we eat a meal together with our Master, the Lord Jesus. He is the host, and he invites us to the meal. The Gospel tells us that the Creator of the universe became one of us, and offered himself in payment for the sin of the world, that we might find forgiveness and redemption through him. Jesus and his disciples are eating the Passover meal. And as they're eating, Jesus takes bread and broke it and gave it to them. Jesus had multiplied bread miraculously on at least two occasions we know about from the Gospels. On one occasion, he had fed more than 5,000 at once, miraculously, from just a small two loaves and five fish. Another time, he had multiplied bread and fed 4,000. The reason for this event was duplicated, once with a larger crowd, once with a smaller, it was done in a Jewish region and once among the Gentiles. Jesus was the bread of God for the whole world. So that bread had become a symbol for Jesus and his mission. The bread of God come down to bring salvation. And now Jesus breaks bread. And he says, "This is my body." In effect, what is happening to this bread as I break it will happen to me. And then he says, "Take and eat it." He takes also a cup, and Jesus gives thanks and offered it to them, and they drank from that one cup. And after they drank, in Mark's Gospel, it says, this is my blood of the covenant, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. You know, we're too familiar with these words. Try to put yourself in the hearts and minds of those Jewish disciples. Jesus is in effect saying, "You've just drunk my blood," or "what stands for my blood, what presents my blood." He said, this cup is the new covenant, after they had drunk it. Now keep in mind that the law forbade drinking blood or eating meat that had not, the blood had to be properly drained out of it. They were very fastidious about this. So as a matter of fact, some modern Jewish commentators say Jesus could not have said that. No Jew in that day could have uttered such words. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, so they say. But of course, there were many things that Jesus said that were not limited to the Judaism of his day. We can rely on the trustworthy account that is presented here that that's exactly what Jesus said. After the bread, Jesus took a cup of wine. It's Passover time. The Passover lambs were killed, commemorating the first Passover when the people of God had taken the blood of the lamb and put the blood over the doorpost and on the side of the door. And when the angel came through and he saw the blood, he passed over them. So that blood becomes a very fitting symbol for blood poured out to bring salvation. Now, Jesus is explaining, and they're trying to understand, that there's a new sacrifice. There's a new sacrifice, Jesus himself. As the Jews were sacrificing Passover lambs, there is a new sacrifice which brings all of that to fulfillment. That was a type. Now has come the fulfillment. Jesus is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who dies for the sin of the world. So there's a new sacrifice, Jesus himself, and there is a new covenant. Centuries before, when Moses had inaugurated the old covenant at the foot of Mount Sinai, the Bible says that he took the blood of the covenant. That's the expression that's used, the blood of the covenant, and he splashed it or sprinkled it on the people and splashed it against the altar. The covenant was made through the blood of the covenant. Jeremiah had predicted there would come a time when there would be a new covenant with the people of God. He would write his law on their hearts. The new covenant would bring forgiveness. The terms of the new covenant, God had said through Jeremiah, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Jesus is referring to that. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is bringing forgiveness to the people of God. There's a new sacrifice and a new covenant and also a new people of God. In the old covenant, it was the Jewish people. In the new covenant, it is Jew and Gentile together, all one. All who trust in Christ are the new covenant people of God. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, all one. All the people of God. Paul calls this new people of God the Israel of God in Galatians 6. So there's a new sacrifice, a new covenant, a new people that is created by the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. As they ate the meal, Jesus warned of betrayal in Mark's gospel, also in the other gospels. This is horrible. One of you will betray me. One of the 12, he said, one who dips his bread into the bowl with me. Now, in the context, we know that Judas had already met with the Jewish authorities, had already decided to betray the Lord. We know that, but these disciples gathered together for the Lord's, well, for the Passover meal, which Jesus made into the Lord's Supper. They didn't know. And you see them all with sweaty hands and with fear in their hearts. They're saying, well, it's not I, is it, Lord? It's not, you don't mean me. They're searching their own hearts. They don't know which one of them it is. So this scene with Jesus' disciples with sweaty palms and worried looks on their faces is a challenge to us. Are we faithful to Jesus as we gather around this meal, the Lord's Supper? Are we faithful to him? Or Are we disciples who will betray him? Who will turn away from him and betray him? Are we faithful to him not only now when we sit here in church, you know, side by side with fellow believers, but are we also faithful to him when we're out there in the community, with our friends, with our family? Are we faithful to the Lord Jesus? That's one of the challenges that's presented to us in this passage. Jesus' warning, I think, was really an appeal. I mean, God's warnings in the scriptures are an appeal. It's an opportunity to turn from your false way. Jesus pronounces this warning. Woe to him who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. I'd like you to think about what it means to receive the bread and receive the cup. I mean, there are two things going on. Christ is the host of the table, and Christ offers us. He says, take and eat, this is my body. He offers us the cup and says, take and drink, this is the new covenant. But there's also our action. We receive. I'd like you to think about what it means to receive the elements. It means, first of all, receiving the benefits of what he has done, what Christ has accomplished on the cross. My body is broken for you. Take and eat. And when we eat, we receive the benefits, the promised benefits of what is accomplished through his death on the cross. This is our receiving the elements is an expression of faith in Jesus. The message that is presented in the supper is the message of the gospel. It is the promise of forgiveness, the promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life. And in the symbolism, as we receive those elements, the bread and the wine, we receive the promise. You see, God knows that we're human, very much in this world, and we need not only the word proclaimed verbally, we also need to hear the word proclaimed in this supper. As we receive, as we taste the bread and taste the wine, we taste the message of forgiveness and life and salvation that is offered in Christ. It means, secondly, receiving the elements is a way of saying, I'm a member of this new covenant community. I belong to this people of God. I have faith, and I am part of. These are my brothers and sisters. I'm part of this family of God. Thirdly, receiving the elements means continued commitment to Christ. My faith is not only past, it is present. My commitment to Christ is not only past, it is present. My faith and trust and my reliance on Jesus and the cross, trust in him, continues to this time. There is also the element of sharing the destiny of the one whose cup we share. I mean, that language is used in the New Testament at times. A couple of chapters back in chapter 10, Jesus said to a couple of disciples, can you drink the cup I drink? He says, you will drink the cup I drink. And by that language, he means you will share the destiny that I have. And there is that significance of sharing the cup. And so there is that thought that we share the destiny of the one who invites us to the table. We follow Christ through suffering into glory. The path he has taken is the path that we too take. I want to emphasize, as I conclude these brief remarks this morning, the great joy that is at this table. There's great joy. First of all, there is joy because this is communion. That's one of the things, one of the terms we use to describe this table. It's communion. And we mean by that communion with the host, communion with Christ, who is present as we celebrate. Christ is present as the word is preached. Christ is present also as this table is shared. He is the host, and there is great joy. He invites us, us sinners, us forgiven sinners, to this table. There is joy at this table because there is the promise of God of forgiveness and life and salvation. The promise of God announced in this supper and received by us as we receive these elements and eat and drink. And thirdly, there is great joy because this meal anticipates the messianic banquet in the future. You know, the great celebration. We will celebrate with Jesus in the resurrection. He makes reference to that in this passage. You notice what he said in verse 25? He said, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. The Lord is risen. We look forward to that day and the resurrection when we'll all share together a meal with Jesus and the people of God, the redeemed people of God. We will again feast with him in a redeemed world, and we will all be together. Some who are sitting here this morning are very keenly aware of someone who's not sitting next to them. A beloved spouse, a beloved family member who's not here. He'll be there then. We'll all be together. No one will be left out. All the people of God sharing in that feast. And that's reason for joy. And we notice the reference. Jesus uses the words in verse 25, that day. That day is a reference to Christ's return. That day is a reference to the triumph of the Son of Man. These are all reasons for great joy as we gather together to share in the Lord's table. I'm going to ask the elders to join me at the front as we share in this sacred meal.